because Mike puts out his quarterback tears on The Athletic. Mike Sando, senior NFL writer for The Athletic, joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, you've made everybody mad again. Congratulations.
Oh, it's so much fun. This is my favorite project of the year. And I can kind of sneak away, you know, as it explodes, because it's not my list, right? I'm just polling the people in the league. It's, it's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So, you know, uh-huh.
Is there any chance that we could take all four of the Browns quarterbacks, take their tiers, add them together,
and move to the second tier?
And then be the number one, you know, have the number one quarterback.
Yeah. Unlikely.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you guys are in, you're not alone, okay? So if you look at the quarterback tiers, where, just to get everybody up to speed, I will talk to 50 coaches and evaluators in the league, and we'll go through all the veteran quarterbacks, and we'll put them in, you know, tier one, the best, two, three, four, five, all the way down. And if you look at I always feel like the top two tiers, you feel like you could go to the Super Bowl with your guy without having, like, the Ravens 2000 defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the top of tier three, and Deshaun Watson's in there. You've got, this is tier three, where you can win with the guy if things are really right around him, but in theory, he's not a huge difference maker. You've got Tua Tagovailoa, $53 million. Trevor Lawrence, $55 million a year. Kyler Murray, whatever his was near or at the top of the market when he did it. And Deshaun Watson, who's still going to get $130 million more, I believe. So that's amazing to have four guys with that kind of financial pedigree. And some of them have played well in the past at times. I guess they all have. And they've all played bad at times. And their teams are all counting on them. But the league is basically saying, you know, maybe just kind of not a huge needle mover.
What does it say that guys in the middle of the pack when it comes to quarterbacks are making top dollar?
Definitely scarcity at the position. I think some of these teams, it's almost like self-affirming, hey, we've got our guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, when I look at the Dolphins in particular, I mean, I would think they know what they have, but they're selling the idea to Tua himself that he's the guy, right? So
yes.
What are you going to do? Have a big holdout and not pay him and play hardball? I feel like there's a little bit of that going on. Hey, just pay. He's our guy. Let's pay him. It would be a hassle to go find somebody else and it buys some peace and everybody's happy. And let's go have the best version of these guys we can have.
Your talk with execs and folks around the league about these quarterbacks led to Deshaun Watson falling for the fourth consecutive year in the tiers. What kind of response did you get about Deshaun?
Yeah, I think increasing worry about if he's going to get it back again. I think initially it was understandable that, you know, after missing so much time, whatever you thought of him, you know, and all the stuff that was going on, okay, it's going to take some time. But he just hasn't played enough and hasn't been available enough to play whatever a dozen games, you know. And so it's been so long now since he's played consistently good ball that you now think it's less likely, you know, less than 50% chance, I guess, that he's going to recapture that again. And now you're just kind of hoping that he'll be viable play.
Do you think you wanted to poke the bear with Browns fans by putting Baker Mayfield and Deshaun so close together on the list?
Oh, that's so great. I hadn't thought of that. So, you know, Baker is a tick below Deshaun. That's outstanding. I should have noticed that right away. What if Baker was a tick higher? Well, maybe check back next year.
Do you know how many clicks? You could have had another 50,000 clicks. All you do is
from
switch
the state
around.
Of Ohio yes. alone, Mike.
Well, yeah, so look at the vote. I'm looking at the vote distribution here. It really is just a couple of votes. I mean, they're super. In fact, if you rounded their tier, it's a 2.78 average for Watson and 2.82 for Mayfield. They're both basically 2.8 if you round it, you know. Yeah. I mean, really, realistically, right now, with their contracts and everything you know about them, who would you rather have be their starter going into week one?
Right now?
Do we want to aggravate 90% of our base? Or?
It's a long pause. You didn't say, oh, Watson.
It makes you wonder what would have happened if Baker would have stayed. That's all.
It
does. I mean, look, I think he's poised to have a good year this year. He's in a spot
but
where he
maybe is having that Yeah, he may have gotten the reset he needed. Sometimes True. These marriages are just over in where they're at.
Right.
And even we see, the greatest of all time, Brady, needed to go somewhere else, or Andy Reid in Philadelphia was a great coach. But they, it was time. And so I'm not comparing Baker Mayfield to Tom Brady, and yeah, I guess I am. But you know what I mean? Sometimes a relationship runs its course, and he wouldn't be doing what he's doing now if he was still in Cleveland, maybe, right? There was too much stuff going on. But if we set that stuff aside and just said, hey, right now both of these guys are available. They're the only two quarterbacks that can be signed, and you have to sign them to a $35 million a year deal for the next 3 years, you could really make a case that I might do Mayfield.
Mike Sando joining us from The Athletic. His quarterback tiers are out. They're interesting. Deshaun Watson is ranked number 18. He's in tier number 3. With that thought in mind, we've kicked this around. If the Browns don't see it from Deshaun this year in year 3 of the 5-year contract, Mike, are they going Denver and Russell Wilson at the end of this year? Do they have to see something, or do they have a big decision to make?
I think it really depends. You'll know how untenable it is. Like, sometimes if it gets so bad that it's a distraction or you just can't do it anymore, right, there becomes a tipping point. I don't think we can say right now for sure just what exactly would have to happen, right? If he plays 5 games and gets hurt, that could be different than if he plays 10 games and is absolutely horrific, right, as a player, and says the wrong thing after the game and the town kind of turns. That could make it, as an organization, then things become untenable in different ways to different degrees. I don't think it's an automatic that he has to play great to stay, but you could certainly see a scenario whereby it got, bad enough, just kind of like it did with Baker a little bit, right? To where it's just time to move on and turn the page. That could happen.
Mike, what does it say about the AFC North that, even Russell Wilson's tier 3 at 22, and then you've got two of the top 4 in the AFC North. What does that say about the AFC North and how competitive it is?
Well, all of these teams, even the Browns, Steelers, these are, they're all good teams. I feel like your ceiling is really what's impacted by what's at that position. And so for the Steelers, they may have a really high floor because Tomlin, just wakes up and wins 9 games. But you can't envision a scenario whereby with Russell Wilson, they did more than almost luckily win a wild card game, right? You're not going to see them making a deep march. I think with Cleveland, you could say, okay, it may be feel less likely they would make a deep march now because we haven't seen Watson play good, but we haven't just closed that whole chapter. I don't think Watson is quite where Wilson is because Wilson has played a lot at a lower level, whereas Watson just hasn't played. This year will tell us what the ceiling maybe is for Cleveland, but I don't think they feel like it's been determined. This is sort of the last chance to determine the ceiling. And then we know with Burrow, the ceiling can be the Super Bowl because he's got there. And we think with Lamar Jackson, the ceiling is AFC championship type game. I think he still has to prove some things in the postseason and prove an ability to really carry it as a passer when you have to pass. That's been a little bit of a challenge for him and them. Just sort of where that what their DNA is on offense hasn't been that. But don't you look at it that way? That's how I see it. Is what is your ceiling? Because the floors for these teams are high with good defenses.
Mike Sando joining us from The Athletic. His quarterback tiers are fascinating. Go take a look. Mike, in all of your research with the folks around the league, did one name of a guy who might be way down in the tiers stand out as somebody that they get the feeling might jump and become a top tier, either a first or second tier guy in the foreseeable future?
I think the biggest boom-bust guy is Anthony Richardson. And I would not say that voters are lining up and betting their money that he's going to be great, but you can see he has incredible athletic traits, and people like Shane Steichen as a schemer. You can kind of see when he left the Eagles, it wasn't quite as good for Jalen Hurts, and you could see when he puts together game plans for the Colts that it looks pretty good from that standpoint. So he could really do it. It's just there's still a healthy amount of skepticism over his ability to stay healthy and those sorts of things. But I don't see anyone else down there where you think the ceiling could be that high. Like, we could see Bryce Young improve, but do you think he's going to rocket up to and be in the MVP race or something like that, or even make a move like a Jordan Love? I don't think people see that.
It's interesting. If Jameis Winston were a starting quarterback, where do you think he might be on your tiers?
Yeah, so Jameis would probably at this point come in, you know, in that between tiers 3 and 4. I mean, he might be like in the Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones range. Yeah, somewhere in there. I don't think he at this point would be like above Geno Smith or Derek Carr or Baker Mayfield. So it'd be somewhere down in that area where they question whether you want him to be your starter for the whole season.
I'll buy that. If he's your backup quarterback, yeah. How do you feel?
Pretty darn good. Like, he's not a bad option if, let's just say, if Watson was injured or couldn't play the whole year. Like, I'm a little bit intrigued. And I think he's the type of guy that the team can rally around a little bit. Now, he's going to make some mistakes and do some, you know, crazy things sometimes. But I think you could have more confidence in him as a backup. Like, if we did backup quarterback tiers, like... If it comes to that, I mean, come on, backup quarterback tiers. That would be very lame. We're like discussing, I kind of have to look up who they are. You know, I'm like, okay, you're asking people around the league, like, I don't know, I've never seen the guy. You know? But Jameis, you know, would be on the short list of the ones if you had to go a whole year with somebody. I mean, you could make a case that I'd rather go a whole year with Jameis than Gardner Minshew.
That's valid. Yeah.
Was there anything that shocked you in this, in your results, in your research?
I was kind of surprised there's only 3 in Tier 1. You know, that's unusual. That's the lowest we've had in almost 10 years, I think, since 2016. So,
and it's Mahomes, Burrow, and Josh Allen.
Yeah, so, you know, and there's I feel like at the top of Tier 2, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Stafford, Rodgers, those are kind of your Tier 1 and a halfers. They get a lot of Tier 1 votes, not quite enough to get into Tier 1, but you could easily make a case for those guys. So it could have been a larger tier there. Initially, I thought it was a little low for Trevor Lawrence to be down in Tier 3, 16th, but then I looked at who's in front of him, and I'm like, I don't know who I would, you know, who am I moving him over? He hasn't done enough. So I think it's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good, you could argue here or there, but I don't think I would make a big change to it.
Mike, we loved talking about it earlier in the week. We loved talking with you today and always. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Awesome stuff.
Thank you. And I had noticed you guys didn't answer the question of whether you'd want to have Baker, you know, under those terms. You guys just went on and...
It's the terms part of it. That's the hard part.
I want to make sure which guy's shoulder is in better shape. You can tell me that.
That's true.
You got it.
Thanks,
got
Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Mike Sando joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
What Browns, a great run he gets for writing that.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson, 18th. On the quarterback tiers. 18th, folks. How does that sit with you? It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. Heaven forbid Andy be warm. You don't have to be when you have Smiley One.
Yeah, I mean, could I pick the worst days of the year for the little... They showed me the switch that was burned out. I was like, whoa. And it was on the outside unit, not the inside.
Well, if you didn't set your thermostat at 64... Might not have to work so hard.
Listen, a supposed funny man. We don't keep it at 64. I don't like it particularly too cold. I like comfortable.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't like to be overly hot, though, I will tell you.
Are you comfortable with Deshaun Watson being 18th on the quarterback tier?
Oh, see, now that's a professional.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a professional.
Thank you.
What profession? Cheese?
Are you comfortable with Deshaun Watson at 18?
I'm going to be honest with you. I love to read it. I love to judge it. I love to stare at these kind of lists. But at the end of the day, I don't have to be comfortable or not. If he goes out and beats Dallas week one, he may as well be number one for me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, what do the tiers really do at the end? They give us something great to argue about and something to have fun with, and then to say, well, if this guy's not in here, what tier would he be? Where would I? Let's combine all the points of our backups and see. Now, let's just put generic Browns quarterback, and I bet they would be tier one.
All right, I'm going to make.
I don't even know if that's true.
I'm going to make a statement that might not be popular.
Okay.
I think 18 is a pretty high ranking for Deshaun. Based on what we've seen here in Cleveland.
Ask you who's on the other side of it, and you tell me who would you rather have, Deshaun or Baker? I'm not even.
I was going to go the other way.
Deshaun or Derek Carr at 20, or Geno Smith at 20, or Russell Wilson at 22. Or go to the tier four, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields, Gardner Minshew, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Bryce Young, Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett. So
right now, of all of those guys, if I could trade Deshaun even up for any of them, I would. And it would be Anthony Richardson, who was the guy who Mike Sando said he was the most intriguing of the folks when he talked to folks around the NFL. Richardson seemed to have the most buzz. This guy's really interesting.
Yeah, I don't care about buzz. I want victories.
Well, okay. I get that.
You would trade. Let me just make sure. You would trade for Richardson? You would trade those guys?
I would trade Deshaun for Anthony Richardson right now.
Yep. I don't know if I would do that.
I would.
Damn.
I would. But he's the only one. He's the only one down there that I would. Who is below him.
If Deshaun is on, I don't think that's a... I wouldn't... No. Deshaun's got to be on, though. There's just too much... There's too much of it. This is an enigma, big word. That I want to see something. We've had these, like...
Here's what a coach said about Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
He's the closest thing to Cam Newton since Cam. Being a man that big who can run the ball and rip it.
And that was his high school coach? So that. Do we have a name?
I'm just reading what Mike Sando put together. We just had Mike. Rip Mike. He's
not
here
ripping
anymore.
Mike. I'm just saying.
He's talking to NFL people. He's not talking to junior high coaches.
You would make that trade today?
Yes. Dano, would you? There are a lot of questions.
He's super raw. That's the only thing with Anthony Richardson. So raw.
And Deshaun has played in 6 games in each of his 2 years as a Brown.
I can't do anything about that, but I can look forward to the future. If Deshaun plays only 6 games again this year, then I'll buy into what you're saying.
He's the only guy below Deshaun on this list, though, on the tiers that I would trade him for. Let me go the other way.
I'd hold a meeting for Geno. If they called up and said, all right,
really?
Deshaun for Geno Smith, I think I'd hold a meeting.
Wow.
I don't know if I would do it.
I wouldn't do that.
But I think I'd call a meeting and go, all right, folks, Geno Smith was pretty damn good.
I don't know, man. Is there anybody above Deshaun who you wouldn't rather have than Deshaun? And let me go over that real quick. Okay? So, Kyler Murray or Deshaun? Trevor Lawrence.
I got to be honest, I'm not a huge Kyler Murray fan.
I'm a Deshaun fan from the Deshaun in Houston. I thought he was terrific, Andy. I thought he was really good.
I'm also not.
But we haven't seen that
yet. I'm also not a huge Trevor Lawrence fan.
I like Trevor. I like Tua. I think Tua's played well. I'm a little concerned about his head, and I only mean that from a concussion standpoint. Jordan Love, Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, Dak, C.J. Stroud. I kind of think if you look at it, I think they kind of have Deshaun right now where he should be. And all Deshaun has to do, Andy, to knock that from 18 up to about what? 8? 9? 10? Let's go out and play like he played in Houston.
Thank you. That's it.
That's it. He's right back. I mean, when he was in Houston, Andy,
where was he? High tier two in Houston?
I would say he'd be a top one. Top five.
Almost tier one.
Yeah, he'd be a top five quarterback.
Which would which is high tier two? Stafford's fifth, tied with Herbert.
All you got to do is go out and do it. I thought his thoughts about Jameis were interesting. Mike Sandoz. Just that if you gotta have a backup, he's probably about as good as you're going to find.
Trevor Lawrence had the biggest drop. He dropped 7 spots. And Jordan Love moved up to most, 13. That makes sense, though. I can understand that. From the year before.
Well, Jordan Love had never played.
Yeah. Well, but he must have been in there somewhere if he jumped up 13.
It's an interesting little exercise that Mike does every year. And we appreciate him being with us on that. We never quite got into some of the other cuts. Are you surprised that they let go of Siaki Ika?
No. Although he could end up coming back on the practice squad still. I'm not saying he's going to, but...
I don't think so.
I read a couple stories that maybe he could.
Really?
Yeah.
I would find that interesting. The only thing I wonder, Andy, it just clearly seems like the Browns drafted him thinking that either they could make him something or thinking that he would fit with what they want to do. And they have enough guys who do fit with what they want to do that they didn't have to work overly hard at trying to make him do it if it wasn't going to happen.
If Cade York can come back, anybody can come back.
You're talking about a kicker.
I know, but it goes back to the we drafted him kind of thing, you know? And so
I know, but I mean, you need a kicker. He fits your kicking scheme. I don't know if...
Is there a kicking scheme?
Is there a kicking scheme?
Exactly. That's exactly the
point. Is there a kicking room?
No, that's exactly the point.
And should the grass...
Of course he fits your kicking scheme. You need a kicker.
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. You can put your foot on a ball and put it in the air? All right, that's our scheme.
We have the scheme. It's right here.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
And that's the kind of crap that gets a guy into his high school Hall of Fame.
That is just pure wisdom.
In other words, you don't have a kicking philosophy or strategy, but you do on the defensive line. That's why I think Ika might not be back.
I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Me too. Especially, when you draft guys and you bring in Mike Hall. Unfortunately, for a lot of reasons, he's not here right now. But I think that was interesting. I do wonder about the wide receiver situation. There were guys who were cut who I would prefer to have than guys who made the team at wide receiver.
Oh, you're just going to say you didn't want David Bell on the team and you wanted Woods on the team. Is that what you're going to say?
No, not at all.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to say if I had a chance to pick up Terrace Marshall from Carolina.
Oh, you're saying from other teams.
Yeah.
Oh, that could still happen.
Yeah.
That's
I can't argue with David Bell being on the team. I like David, Andy. I do. I want to see it, and you're right. He needs more opportunity, but you got to create your own opportunity.
I am excited. I don't know how much playing time Jamari Thrash is going to get, but there's something about that kid that's
makes plays, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he does. At least he did in the preseason. I keep going back to, though, and I'll never forget this guy, and preseason can be misleading. There was a wide receiver for the Raiders who was on fire one preseason, and he's now a police officer in California, and his name is Kenny Shedd, and he was on fire for the Raiders one preseason. He kicked around with the Raiders for a little while, but that's why you don't get excited about preseason work by wide receivers in the NFL.
Or
Austin Watkins last year here.
Yeah.
Remember how good he was?
Yeah.
Never saw the light of day.
Do you remember I read a story today that maybe Jacob Saylor's the running back who I thought looked pretty good. He was like the only reason to be excited, I thought, from the game the other night in Seattle. And he saw super limited action in the preseason. I saw somewhere where they thought he was going to make the practice squad. I think he's worth looking at. I mean, if it's a practice squad spot,
Well, you need a running back on the practice squad, so why not?
I think it'd be good to be there.
Have somebody. Yes?
No. Yeah.
I wonder if they shuffle the offensive line at all. And I thought it was really interesting yesterday when Jack Conklin had his media session and he was asked about left tackle. And said, yeah, I played there a lot before. You move over. And if you didn't hear and didn't know and just listen to that, you would think, oh, I guess he's the left tackle.
Merritt Kay's been talking about that for a while.
In fact, let's hear it. Jack Conklin. See? He's worked at it.
Sounds like a country song. Hips, right, left, hit, line dance, something like that.
Here's a little bit more on Jack Conklin, either playing right tackle or left tackle.
Good answer.
That's a team player.
Yep. I'm excited just to get back out there. So feel my feet on the grass, be in the room with the boys.
You're not Kevigan. He's Kevigan.
I know, but I was just thinking the whole time.
If you're, I just keep going back to this because I think you have three tackles that you want on the football field. If they're all healthy at some point, Andy, which guy is the guy that you sit down?
Dewa Jones, still, he's still not there.
You don't think so?
I think the investment's still in Jed Wills, and they want to give him a chance. But I just don't think. I think I'm not sure Jed's going to be ready for the first game if they don't think he's healthy. But they did bring both these guys off to put him on the roster. So,
do you think Dewan played better at right tackle than Jed played at left?
Probably. I do. Yes.
Yeah, I do. And that's why.
But
I'm
going to be honest with you.
Dewan on the field.
Can I be really honest? Unless the quarterback is looking at the stars or running around for his life, I try not to watch the offensive line. You know, and you're like, if the quarterback has the ball for more than, what, 2.5 seconds, then you start counting and looking at your offensive line because you're like, oh, I wonder if this is going to be able to hold up or how long till we get a holding call. I like to not really notice my offensive line.
Agreed. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, Guardians, getting ready to play a little baseball. Those pesky Kansas City Royals, pesky as in first place and kicking butt.
Tied.
Tiebreaker goes to Kansas City.
Still tied.
Playoff start today. Guardians are a wild card team.
4.5-game lead.
Does that mean they're still tied?
4.5-game lead on the other wild card spot. And so I think it's, what did I say, six? 6.5?
Let's go with that.
Something like
that. Let's go with that.
Make sure you know everything before Ohio State kicks off their season during the Sons of the Shoe podcast with Nick Wilson and Spencer German. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week of the college football season. They get set to take on Akron, first game of the season.
All right, so Browns will take the practice field a little bit later on today. Kevin Stefanski will be heard from as well as they get ready for the first game of the season. They'll have one more practice tomorrow, and then we'll be off for the weekend. Just like hopefully all of you listening right now will be for the three-day weekend. So the waiver claims are in. This is according to Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, who has all of them here. The Browns have not, well, made any waiver claims that we know of. They also had nobody that they put on waivers get taken by anybody else. So in other words, if you want to bring the whole gang on back, the floor is yours.
That's interesting. Nobody, huh?
Nobody.
Not a one.
How many players were actually picked up on waivers? Is there a lot in there or no?
Yes.
You're looking at the whole list, right?
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of guys.
I'm just curious.
A lot of guys.
Coming out. I don't need names. I just ballpark it. Just look at the names. Oh, come on.
All right.
The Browns didn't lose anybody and they didn't gain anybody.
Jim Harbaugh picked up Hassan Haskins, his former running back, on waivers.
Okay, one.
Is that interesting?
I could keep counting if you want. I mean, keep counting.
You know, you don't have to be so mean about it. What I'm saying
he's
is.
He's being a wise guy, isn't he, Andy?
Is there 50 guys that got picked up?
I don't know.
Can I look at your screen? Because I don't have the same screen.
You can count on the air. Okay. Here, you count on the air.
No, don't count on the air.
Just like the count taught all of us to do.
I need your mouse so I can move this.
Just so Count Von Count can handle it. Here's the mouse, too.
Thank you.
I wish we had cameras pointing this direction.
You know what's interesting to me? Guy like Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver from Carolina, former second-round pick, was not claimed on waivers. A lot of defensive backs.
So this is the question, too. Was he put on waivers, or was he just given his outright release?
Like 26 guys. There were 25 guys, 25, 26 guys.
That's significant.
I'm just saying.
Isn't that significant?
We sit around and we talk about it. This is my point, is that we think, oh, we're going to lose that guy. We can't let him go through. They're not going to make it through waivers. And then, like, it just doesn't.
How does that go?
It just doesn't happen.
Great job of repeating that.
Do you think, I'm just wondering, do you think Dorian Thompson-Robinson would have got picked up if somebody else wanted him? Well, yeah. Would he have been one of the 25 guys?
He got picked up.
So, like, here are the guys.
I think you value your own guys more than the rest of the league does sometimes. I do think Dorian Thompson Robinson would have got picked up, but I just wonder sometimes, do we make a bigger deal on, ooh, you can't put somebody out there, they're going to get,
you know what I think? You know what I think is an interesting part of this? They have to cut so many guys with only one cut now to get down to 53. There's so many numbers that you just, I mean, you might pick up some guys. It just seems to me like there's a little less activity than there used to be.
Well, so here are the guys who were put on waivers from the Browns, okay? Jerron Briggs, Almarion Brown.
One.
Jalen Darden. Okay, Jalen Darden, you can see maybe a couple of guys doing. You know the point of this is to show you that really great players don't get put on waivers. They're instead just terminated contracts, right?
Agree.
That's the point.
Yes.
Like Siaki Ika was put on waivers, you know. Nose tackles that are that size really don't, you know, now a lot of teams don't really play a 3-4 anymore or want guys that big. So Michael Woods is another one, like guys that we've all kind of fallen in love with.
Rather than naming all these guys and say that, don't you think that sometimes the whole story is just kind of overrated? The whole thing's just kind of like we sit here with anticipation saying, oh, we can't cut that guy. I don't know how they're going to be able to not get it. Are they going to get him? Are they going to be able to get him through to the practice squad? Somebody else is definitely going to pick up. Like, we make such a big deal. Year after year, we do that. And really, when it's all said and done,
Are you poo-pooing our profession?
No, it's not our profession. It's just what we do.
Are you poo-pooing what we do?
And let's be honest, it's one of the things that makes the NFL just so interesting is because sometimes the hype doesn't live up to the hype.
I don't know. I thought it was fascinating. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, maybe we can get... Can we count again? One, two, three. Never mind.
Three on waivers.
Hit the other sounder, will you? There you go.
Genesee is a name for the past.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
it's cool.
There you go. So there's that. And now they'll start building the practice squad. We'll have a kicker on there. You always have an extra kicker.
Yeah.
You have a long snapper.
We have an extra long snapper this
from
year.
From Bay Village. Way to go, Rex. Nice job.
Good job.
That's the way to go. We need to get a new drop. Nice job, you long snapper. Nice job.
No.
Get on that.
If you don't know, this is the greatest compliment you could ever give Charlie Hewlett. If you don't know who he is, that means he's doing a great job.
That's absolutely true.
That's why he's one of my favorite players.
Well, he speaks highly of you as well.
I'm a big fan of long snappers. They're consistent. I'm telling you, if you needed to buy a jersey, long snapper's pretty much the way to go. Right? Charlie's been here for quite... He's got to be the longest tenured player on the team, right? Gotta be.
It'd be my guess.
Joel Bitonio.
Ooh, that one's tough. Good point.
Thanks.
Hewlett's got 10 years experience. Although, have they all been with us? I don't know.
There's a fine question for you, Andy. You spin your head and figure that one out, will you?
Bitonio's got 11. Jeff Phelps, probably right on that. Darn you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Joel's been here forever. What did you think about Jack Conklin and the left tackle thought? You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm good with it. Like, I trust him. That's the whole thing. Like, if you're a head coach, do you trust the guy who's going to play that position? Because that position's unbelievably important. Do you trust him? Do you trust the doctors that surgically $6 million man repaired all of the ailments in his leg? Do you trust that, too? How has he looked in practice? Is he going to be up to speed? Is he going to be ready? I just feel like he's a guy that... little mistakes aren't going to happen to. If something happens, it's because the player on the other side is just better than him. So I think he can maintain. I don't know. I trust him. I trust most of our offensive linemen.
I think it'll be interesting if he makes that move to left tackle at this point of his career. Since he's played right, you know, since he's been in the NFL, that's a big move to make. And then you don't think DeJuan Jones is ready?
No, I think he's ready. I just don't think they're ready to put him in that spot just yet.
Left or right? I mean, starting right tackle?
Again,
are you okay with that?
If you believe, we both believe the same thing, okay? That once he hits one of those spots, he's staying there for a long, long time. So make sure that when you do decide to give him the keys to the condo, he's ready to move in and stay there for a while.
I would agree with that. I think once he's there, good to go.
It's a whole microphone thing. It's weird.
Oh, sorry. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. They installed these lights in case you're wondering. It's kind of
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we've got these new, this apparatus here it's like some robotics thing. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I agree with you about DeJuan. The minute that guy is named the starter, I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm so intrigued at the combination of good feet and his size that I'm just anxious to see him get the opportunity. I think he could elevate the offensive line. And that's – but I keep going back to you've got three tackles that you want to play. Very few teams have three that you want to play and one guy sitting who probably should be starting for somebody. It's a luxury. How long does it last?
My question is does the I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. Does the success rate of offensive linemen for the Browns maintain with Andy Dickerson as your new offensive line coach?
I don't know the answer to that. And let's be honest, if there's one thing that most people, most diehard football fans, most diehard football observers, most media members know next to nothing about, it's how to be an offensive lineman and a good one and to evaluate them. How do we evaluate offensive linemen? Hey, there's a big hole there.
They don't hold and they don't make mistakes.
There's a big hole. You didn't hold and our quarterback is upright. That's about it, right? So I don't know. And we've been told and told and told that Bill Callahan is a great offensive line coach. No reason to think that he's not.
Look, the fact that we kind of know, I mean, we kind of knew who Bill Callahan was before, but the fact that
because he was a former head coach.
But he had such an impact on that offensive line. Guys would go out and guys would come in and you've never heard of them and they would do an okay job. They would be all right. And you never questioned whether these guys would be experienced and ready to get in the spot to play. And so now, if somebody stumbles, you know, it's tough because you're like, that's not, you know, and it's nothing against Andy Dickerson. Because, again, if we don't talk about offensive linemen and they do their job and they stop the other team from getting your quarterback or open up some holes for the running backs or are able to flip a pancake every once in a while, then you're doing a good job as an offensive line coach. To be honest with you, offensive linemen and referees should be about the same. They should just blend into the woodwork because if they do, that means they're doing their job. I don't want to know a referee's name, and I don't want to go, oh, that guy's holding. Oh, that guy missed that block. Same thing.
Really?
Because that's the only time you notice them. Unless they pop somebody hard where a running back is able to gain an extra 10 to 15 yards because they had an amazing play or they had a pancake, you're just not talking about offensive linemen. No offense. I have friends that are offensive linemen. I get it. I know you feel. I know I'm going to get from a buddy of mine who was at Bowling Green, who was an offensive lineman. I'm going to get a text in about 2 seconds. You don't know anything about offensive line. I don't want to know anything about the offensive line. That's the bottom line. I really don't. I want those guys to stop the other team from making tackles in the backfield and opening up holes so running backs can get through. Thank you. That's it. Give my quarterback 2+ seconds to throw. Man, I'm the happiest guy on earth. I don't care what your last name is.
It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.